And welcome back to the School of Mary. We're blessed to have with us Mother Gabriel Mary and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. We're going to go back to Italy right now with Mother.
I was just reading in volume 5, July 3rd, 1903. Our Lord is telling Louisa, my daughter, why do you afflict yourself if I am the master of all of you? When a soul comes to rendering me the master of her mind, of her arms, of her heart and of her feet, sin cannot reign. And if something involuntary enters into her, since I am the master of that and the soul is under the influence of my lordship, she is in continuous attitude of purgation, and that something immediately goes out of her. Furthermore, since I am holy, it is difficult for her to retain within herself anything which is not holy. Even more, since she has given all of herself to me in life, it is justice that I give all of myself to her at her death, admitting her to the beatific vision without delay. So if one gives herself completely to me, the flames of purgatory have nothing to do with her. So how can we give ourselves completely to him? I think the only way, the Lord tells me anyway, it seems he's telling me that.
That M folder's coming out. Peter.
Acts and rounds in divine will. Acts and rounds in divine will. That's it. You know, I mean, we have to call him into all of our activities throughout the day, realize his presence in everything around us, in everyone around us, and in ourselves, doing everything within us, through and in us. The more we do that, the more we put our I love yous on everything and all the gifts he's given us, the more we become more like him, and the more completely we've given ourselves to him. And the flames of purgatory then have nothing to do with us, you know. So if you want to eliminate purgatory, acts and rounds in divine will. That's the only way to get there, because you can, you know, we're so weak. We're so little. We're just like little children. We can't do it on our own. God has to do it. God has to do all of this, but we have to invite him to do it. That's our part. We have to desire it. We have to want it. That's the work that we do. He does the job. He does the act. But we have to continually call him into these acts. And that takes work. You know, people say you do nothing. No, you're doing something always. It's more difficult. And you don't do anything that's not according to his will. You have to know what is his will, you know, and then you have to ask.
Oh, I think Mother and the sisters froze for a moment. San Marino didn't freeze, but the mother house froze for a bit here. Well, it may be a good time for my disclaimer. Although acts begins with A and rounds begins with R, you file the advice of Mother Gabriel Marie under M for Mother, acts and rounds. That's how we repair, we redo, and we grow deeper in this gift of the divine will. If the mother house can hear me, maybe perhaps you have to reboot yourself because you're frozen in a very stoic position, very contemplative position. So perhaps with that, as we wait for the mother house, I'm going to ask San Marino sisters to mute themselves. Hello, sisters.
Hello. Hello.
Now, I see two, but my recollection is we're missing one.
Yes. She's more near to you than us.
Oh, she's in Texas?
Yes.
Oh, how wonderful. How long will she be gone for?
I think about a month. Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. Well, you already visited your family, right, sister? Did I say
for
you
me,
visited a few
part.
Months ago? Okay.
I went only for a week, but I had to spend 2 weeks more in September.
Okay, now where are you from in Italy?
Avellino. Avellino is a near city, 40 kilometers from Naples.
Okay.
And it's funny, I always say this to the person who knows me, it's funny because I have the name of Teresa Davila. Do you know the saint, the Spanish saint, Teresa Davila?
Yeah, yeah.
And I am Teresa di Avellino.
Oh, just to differentiate a little bit.
Yeah, it's very fun. No, it's a very little town, it's a normal town. 70,000 people.
Okay. Oh, beautiful. Well, it's good you spend time with the family. I think that's just good to recharge and refresh. So again, while we're waiting for the mother house, we may as well dive into this. We're talking about, you know, a lot of things, of course, today being the feast of St. Thomas, Doubting Thomas, and we can learn so much from Doubting Thomas. And, you know, think about Doubting Thomas. He was doubting in the beginning, and then he became one of the fiercest evangelists, apostles, you know, fearless, to the point of course, he suffered a martyrdom as well. What would you like to share today, sister? Any reflections on that? Or
actually, yeah, I have a passage that it talks about lack of confidence, and it's it goes very well with the feast of Saint Thomas today. And it's a Jesus says, it's a volume 28. I think it's June 2nd, 1930. And it say, lack of confidence always places an obstacle to the union between creator and creature. It is the wing clipper of the flight towards the one who loves her so much. It makes her live at the earth's level. And even though she does not fall, it makes her feel vividly her passions. More so, since lack of confidence has been the weak act in the course of the centuries, and sometimes even good souls have drawn back in the journey of virtues because of lack of confidence. So it make me think how really is not having confidence or doubting of what Jesus tells us is how we automatically go back to the human will, like to our little human things. And it's really, I mean, we can fall, at least me, I can fall, I can lack confidence, or I don't put fully my trust in Jesus very easily during the day, like even in little things, like doubting something, or I said, this is really God's will or something. And already there, I mean, I think that our faith, it plays around confidence. The more confidence we have to Jesus, the more we abandon ourselves to Jesus. And I think the key for, at least for my vocation, or like I can say probably for all vocations, is confidence, the abandonment, how much we abandon ourselves to God. And if we trust God in everything, every moment, in everything we do, then we can be sure that we are in a right path. But at the moment when we start doubting, we start saying lack confidence, then as Jesus says here, we go back to the human will, and it's very easy. So we have really to trust in Jesus. And I guess it's normal, as sister was saying before, like you doubt, like when Saint Thomas, he was doubting. We always have to trust in God.
Yeah. You're right. Trust is very important.
Yes, yeah. It's very important also. Yeah. And also because I was thinking about this. The trust in God. I was reading in these days a book that I find in Medjugorje about the Mass. And the writer is, I think this is the right way, Joseph Loncar. He was very involved with the charismatic renewal. And he writes about what is the beginning of the original sin. And he said, I tried to explain in English, but I have the book only in Italian. And at the beginning, God gave to Adam the order to not eat from the tree. And also he said, if you do this, if you will eat, sure you will die. So he explained how the root of the sin is the lack of faith. Yes, it's also the come si dice superbia.
Pride.
It's also pride. Sure, it's pride. But at the beginning, the top of the pride is lack of faith, because he's right. We have to presume that the God told to Adam what is the means of to die, because in any case the chastisement he will receive was unjust. So God is very right. So he had to explain what is the means of the dead to Adam. But Adam didn't have the experience of the dead. And also he didn't have the experience of the judgment, because he was living in divine will, perfectly in harmony with God. So he fallen into the sin because he didn't have faith in what God told him about the death and about the judgment. So at the beginning, it's very important to have, in this moment, in this time of that we are living in the church, yes, we are we are introducing in the first knowledge about divine will, but before we were preparing from God with the divine mercy. And what is divine mercy? The heart of the message of divine mercy is to trust in God. At the bottom of the picture, we can read, "Jesus, I trust in you." We have to be very faithful to God.
Yeah, we can keep it alphabetized too. If we believe in what Jesus wrote as being true, we will have faith in what's written, yeah. And then we will trust it.
And also, he explained not only to believe in what he was saying to us, but believe that the word of God is holy. We have to give the true value at the word of God. Right. It's very important.
That's true. And he's very specific on that. In volume 11, August 20th, 1913, he says, quote, "My daughter Louisa, all possible goods are contained in my will. And it is necessary for the soul who lives in it to be in it with trust, operating as owner together with me," end quote. So if we believe that to be true,
yeah,
then we believe it, we have faith in it, and we trust it.
Yeah.
One of those components missing is not the
And also he explained how, I only start to read that book, but it's very profound. He only explained how, what is the means of the our participation to the Mass. All was done from Jesus, but at this time. But now we have to add what Jesus did in the past. And our part is to complete the suffering of Jesus, like St. Paul say in the Bible, and to give this our holiness that we receive from grace to other people. At the end of the Mass, the priest say, "Ite missa est." So for us, all also start at the end of the Mass, because we have to bring the good news to other peoples, to trust in God and to believe in the Jesus, Son of God.
Yeah, it really is about trust. You know, and to believe it, we really have to ask God for the grace, because like I think Sister was talking about how it's unbelievable sometimes. It's almost too good to be true. And, you know, God says, but it really is so easy. He says, as soon as the soul decides to live in my volition, my will creates myself within the soul. So again, we open the door and God comes in. He does all the work, but he's not going to force himself in. So really it's very simple, but yet that first step is probably the most difficult. Out of a lot of a myriad of different reasons, pride, non-belief, non-trust, all the things we talked about.
The beginning is difficult because we have to change our way to think about right. our life.
That's a better way
and
to say
also,
it.
I think also after it's more easy in one way, but at the same point, we have to give our, like Our Lady, she gave our fiat not only one time, but in every moment. In every day, she says fiat. So we have to cooperate with Jesus to make make us make the divine will have to grow in us, to grow in us. So it can grow only if we say fiat at every moment, at every day, at every situation of our life, because it's easy to say fiat if we are in a good situation. But when the cross is difficult to carry, and when we cannot understand why we receive, we leave a specific kind of cross that we didn't choose, it's very difficult to say, yes, I accept it. And so for this reason, I think it's very important to be very near to Jesus at the Mass, because at the Mass we receive the grace to accept the cross.
Right. And to embrace the obstacles.
Yes.
Because those are the tests. I mean, Jesus reassures Louisa by telling her that the surest sign in order to know whether our state of being in his will, is when one feels the strength to sustain the state, and it is also his will for her to be caught by the fear that her state may not be his will. This fear and doubt purifies her of every slightest defect. So again, even the doubt in this context is a healthy doubt, because it helps strengthen our belief.
Yeah.
Again, that faith, that trust, yeah. Everything gets emboldened through that test, so to speak.
I think I share with you my experience in Medjugorje. And I was presenting to Jesus in prayer, in adoration, all, I don't say bad situation, but not very easy situation. Huh? And at one point I feel in my heart, like Jesus say, I leave this cross, this little pain to you, because this little pain makes you more, a more desire to go to Jesus to ask. So it's not and also I return on the book. In the same book, is the writer say, I hope I don't forgot, the Mass is not magic, that we ask a grace and today or tomorrow we will receive the grace. No, because one, we have to be healed from our sin, and we already are, in one way, we already received the grace of guarigione, of healing. But we have to receive with our mind, with our heart, we have to accept the healing. And for this, we need time. And also, we have to be able to receive the new grace, for example, living in divine will, we have to be able to take care of this big treasure. And if we are not ready for the healing, we are not ready for receive all the grace. So sometimes the, how you say, the doubts, the cross, make us more near to Jesus, more near to Jesus for asking for his grace, and for not and to put away the temptation of living in a worldly way. I think this is for us that we are nuns, but I think it's more specific also for lay people, because they live in the world.
It's true. So, you know, in every circumstance also, sisters, I think it's important to, again, remember our nothingness. You know, yes. Nothing is conquerable by us. There's no problem we can solve alone. There's nothing we can do to sustain our life on earth. Everything is a grace, is a gift, and everything is fueled, in essence, by the divine will. And once we recognize that, I think it's a lot easier to sort of lean into Jesus and not away from him like the world teaches us to do. It's all a process.
We have to have the faith of receive the healing, of receive the grace, but we have also to be patient and to participate in the process of healing. So it's not important only to receive the healing, but it's important to stay with Jesus and to live the grace during the process of healing. It's not what I think. I think I agree, but I read in the book. So it's something that opened my mind to accept also my in sometimes I say to the Lord, but for how long I have to ask this grace? And this reading this is for me is something like I love you to stay with you. And I want that you desire to stay with me. Okay, Jesus, I will wait. I will wait like you want.
Yeah. And in that nothingness too, we have to recognize that we're like salmon. We're going against the current. I think one Seneca like said trout don't go, they don't go against the stream, the current, but salmon has to go against the flow, like the worldly flow coming in one direction. We have to go against that, and God will give us the inertia, sort of the momentum to push through that. We can't do it by ourselves. We're going to drown. Well, we know that.
Yeah, it's a spiritual exercise.
Yeah, very good. Mm-hmm. Sister speaks better English than I do.
But we were listening today. A priest was saying that at some point we cannot do anything. We just have to abandon everything to God, and then He will do the rest. Like even for anything that we ask, and we don't see any result, or maybe we are praying for something and we don't see anything. We just have to abandon. We are just, okay, Jesus, I give it to you. You think about it.
Yeah.
And then it's probably when we see miracles happens, because we want, in a way, we want, we think we do things but in the moment when we leave it to Jesus, then he can do miracles. And it's an act of abandonment when completely.
Yeah, and I think if we're honest, Mother, I think if we're honest with ourselves, well, we recognize that there's nothing we can do very well. There's nothing we can do at all.
We can't. Well, that's how we, you know, we learn our nothingness. You know, it's not about humility. It goes further than humility. This is about your nothingness. And how do we learn to realize we're nothing? Is we have to, God allows us to make mistakes. God allows us to make fools of ourselves. That's all a gift from God, in order to die to ourselves so that He can use us. You know, He takes the little people. He takes the people. Everybody's nothing, but they don't know they're nothing. It's when you get to know that you're nothing, that God can use you, that He can do great things in you. That's what He did through Louisa, through Our Lady, you know, because they realize that. But we think we're something. God can't come through. We're filled with ourselves. There's no room for Him. We have to be emptied, totally emptied of self, so that He can come in. I think in one way to get there, I was just reading in volume 29, July 2nd, 1931. Our Lord was saying, "My daughter, if you have not ceased repeating, uniting yourself with our celestial mama, rocking me, placing your I love you for me in what she was doing, could I cease saying my two mamas?" Because Louisa was helping Our Lady rock Jesus in a little cradle. And He kept saying, "My two mamas, my two mamas, my two mamas." Then I would be below you and loving you while I never. And she was worried that maybe He would stop saying "my two mamas." She wanted Him to continue to say that, to include her as one of His mamas. Then I would be below you and loving you while I never let myself be surpassed by the love of the creature. Not only this, but you must know that everything that the creature does in my will has the virtue of converting that good that she does into her nature. And true good in nature is never lost, nor are there strains in repeating it as many times as one wants. Do you perhaps strain yourself in order to breathe, to palpitate? Your breathing becomes a habit. You can't stop breathing. It would be difficult to stop breathing, because it is in your nature even more. If you do not want to do it, you must emit a strain, but a strain that perhaps, if you can get yourself to do it, will cost you your life. And this is the greatest prodigy of my will, to convert the prayer, the love, the sanctity, its knowledges into one's nature. And when I see that the creature has given herself at the mercy of my will, but so much that my will was able to change the divine goods into her nature, my words resound in the soul with my creative power and give the maternity of her nature. And how can I not repeat my two mamas? When I speak, what I say is in reality. Is it perhaps not true that my mama is mother of me to me according to the order of nature? And is also mother to me in the divine order by virtue of the divine will that she possessed. Had she not possessed my will, she could not have been my mother to me, either in the human order or in the divine order. Oh, how many things it knows how to do in one who lets herself be dominated by it. It knows how to make the divine order descend into the human, and it converts the divine order into one's nature. And it makes of her such portents as to astonish heaven and earth. Therefore, let yourself be dominated by my will, and I will make my sweet word resound in you, my dear mama, whom my fiat keeps from me on earth. So if we continually tell God, I love you, I love you, I love you, it becomes part of our nature. When I look at the Blessed Sacrament, I just say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And I really mean it in my heart. You know, we keep saying that, say it over and over and over again. It becomes your nature, like breathing, you know, and it just grows in you. It grows and you get emptied of self more and filled with him. So I just want to share that whatever you want to become your nature, do it over and over again, like breathing. It becomes part of your nature. Keep telling Jesus you love him. It's going to become more a part of your nature, and you're going to be totally transformed.
So true. Hello, sister.
Hi. So what I was reading was a little bit different than that, but it kind of comes from what Sister Magdalena was saying earlier of how the divine will really flows naturally from the Gospels and redemption. And so Jesus was speaking to Louisa, and he said, and going around through all my works, you would impress your I love you, your I adore you, I thank you. It was the knowledges of my works that you were acquiring and the possession of them that you were taking. Now, after possession, what greater, holier, and more beautiful thing, more bearer of all happiness to the human generations, can you ask in the midst of my works together with them, then the coming of my will, then the coming of the kingdom of my will? More so, since in creation, just as in the kingdom of redemption, it was the kingdom of the fiat that I wanted to establish in the midst of creatures. All of my acts, my very life, their origin, their substance, deep within them, it was the fiat that they asked for, and for the fiat they were made. If you could see inside each one of my tears, each drop of my blood, each pain, and all my works, you would find within them the fiat, and they were at the fiat that they were asking for, and how they were directed toward the kingdom of my will. And even though apparently they seemed to be directed to redeeming and saving man, that was the way that they were making in order to reach the kingdom of the divine will. Sorry, that was from volume 20, October 24th, 1926. So yeah, he really does speak thoroughly about how every single act of his, every breath, every heartbeat, every drop of his blood was flowing within it was the fiat. And everything that he did in creation and redemption was just for the fulfillment of this most perfect plan that he had set in place for the coming of the kingdom of his divine will. And then he says later on, a couple months later, on December 24th, 1926, same volume, therefore, everything you do, what I do in you is for this kingdom, is nothing other than a continuation of what I did from the moment I was conceived in the womb of my mama. So if you want me to carry out the kingdom of the eternal fiat within you, let me be free and never give life to your will. So that's the beautiful thing, is that we can continue this beautiful, powerful gift that he gave us in redemption in our acts. And by surrendering our will completely to him and not letting it be free, we can completely immerse ourselves within the fiat and continue this work of redemption, which was just a stepping to this kingdom of the fiat. And man must first be redeemed. Man must first find forgiveness. You have to go to confession before you can receive communion. You have to fully find redemption before you can enter fully into the divine will and be one with him. And you just give him the freedom to work. And you think that in surrendering your will, you lose things. But what a lie that is, because in surrendering your will, you find true freedom. You find the freedom within his fiat. To dwell in his will.
Sorry about the distraction. I think someone's at the door here. So, Mother, just take over for a minute. Let me just go into the door. The on-air sign outside. Perhaps I didn't see it.
Somebody came to the door. You got distracted. So he said, you take over.
Okay. Well, I think, one minute. Okay. Well, I was just reading here in volume 7, July 3rd, 1906. My beloved, the soul who lives in my will rests because the divine will does everything for her. And while it operates for her, I find the most beautiful rest in her. So the will of God is rest for the soul and rest for God in the soul. While resting in my soul, the soul remains always attached to my mouth and suckles divine life into herself, making of it her continuous food. The will of God is the paradise of the soul on earth. And the soul who does the will of God comes to form the paradise of God on earth. The will of God is the only key that opens the treasures of the divine secrets, and the soul acquires such familiarity in the house of God as to dominate as if she were the owner. So God gives us everything. He's true. He's truly a giver. You know, we have nothing except what he gives to us, but we return it to him. But he says to rest in me. You know, Father Valenta, he's gone now. God bless him. He's in heaven, I'm sure. He wrote a book from the head to heart to the heart. And he said that we are human beings, not human doers. We need to learn how to be. You know, we don't know how to be. We're always doing. But God wants us to rest in him, and we will rest. He will rest in us, and we will rest in him. And that's, you know, just to not be so anxious about living in the divine will, but resting in it. Letting God rest in us, and don't let it be a frenzy that you've got to do all these things, you got to do all these acts, you got to do all the rounds. No, you just rest in him and let him come gradually, let it peacefully come your way. And as you peacefully think about these things, you give them to the Lord. You give him your I love yous and everything. You call him into all of your activities in a peaceful, gentle way as you rest in him and he rests in you.
Amen. I'm back now. Just you know what happened. Somebody came to the door, a gentleman, probably in his 50s. He said he and his daughter were taking a little bit of a ride, and they ran out of gas, and they have a leak in the gas tank. So thank God I've got a container of gasoline, and I told him to look through the shed to find something to plug the wire. So I was going to ignore him because I thought it was somebody else, but good thing I didn't do that. So again, sometimes we have to take impulses. Hello, sister.
Hi, Peter. Mine is going to be very similar to Sister Francesca from earlier. It's from volume 30, April 13th, 1932. The human nature that lets itself be dominated by the divine will, its field of action and flowery earth. This is Jesus speaking. She finds the little crosses, the necessities of life, the variety of circumstances, now sorrowful, now cheerful, that as seeds serve as sowing in the earth of the human nature, so as to form its flowery field. The soul does not have earth and could not produce any flowering. On the other hand, united with the body, oh, how many beautiful things it can do. And then further on down, receiving the life of the divine will in her acts, she lets herself be dominated in everything, nor does she know anything else in all her things than my will alone as life, actor, bearer, and conservator of everything. My fiat remains over her with its brush of light in order to perfect her, divinize her, and spiritualize her. So like she was saying that it doesn't matter what we're doing, is as long as we give him what we have throughout the day. It reminds me of I have a sister who's quite younger than me in age, and she'd come home and give me her drawings, and I'd have no idea what she drew for me. But I just, you know, you admire it and say, oh, this must have took you a good amount of time to do. And it's not that what it was, it looked like a mess, really. But you love it because it's hers. And that just makes me think how much more that our Heavenly Father sees what we do. It might not be beautiful at all or nothing much to look at. But he loves it because it comes from our heart.
No, it was beautiful. You know, I think it's, you know, sisters and mother, I think it's more of a, like right now, the secular world, they want us to live the world and then sort of have God as second, even if they'll allow God. They'd rather we had no God, but if we have a God, it's second. We have to reverse the order because God comes first and then everything trickles down from that. And if we're going to be restored to the original design of God, the prelapsarian era of Adam, everything has to change. And that's why Jesus tells us that in volume 12, January 29th, 1919, he talks about every 2000 years have this renewal every 2000 years. And he says, that's the reason for the general confusion. Now it is nothing other than the preparation of the third renewal. So the world knows, the evil one knows that his time is very short. So things are going to all break down very quickly. And it looks as if everything is falling into the abyss, but actually God is just destroying the bad and elevating the good. So just, we have to just, like Father Celso tells us, buckle our seatbelts, sisters.
Yeah, so as our Lord told St. Thomas and the apostles, blessed are those who have not seen but have believed. And that also applies for us. Like, we don't need to believe, we don't need to see the full effects of our acts while we're here on earth to believe that they're, powerful. We just have to have faith and persevere and be like little children, just throwing ourselves into the arms of our Heavenly Father, saying, Papa God, here are my acts. I believe that these will have good effect in helping to bring down the kingdom of the divine will, even though I may not see these full effects while I'm here alive on earth. And going back to our earlier conversation in the Cenacle about the Eucharist and how about Jesus is just waiting there for us, like in every single tabernacle all across the world. Our Lord is just lovingly waiting there for at least one soul to keep him company there. So there's this passage, short passage I like to read from volume 35, January 24th, 1938. How our Lord left for heaven, remaining on earth in the tabernacles to accomplish the kingdom of the divine will. So in the beginning of this passage, Luisa was doing her flight in the divine volition. And while she was visiting Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, she wanted to embrace all the tabernacles and each sacramental host in order to live with Jesus, who chose to be a voluntary prisoner out of love for us. And as I was reading this, I was kind of thinking, we could also do that too. In the divine will, we can embrace all the tabernacles in the world as well, and we can live together with Jesus in all those tabernacles in the divine will. And Luisa was thinking to herself, what a sacrifice, what a long imprisonment, not of days, but of centuries. Poor Jesus, could he at least be repaid for this? And continuing this down this passage, beloved Jesus, visiting her soul, all immersed in his flames of love, told her, my good daughter, my first prison was love. It imprisoned me so much that I did not even have the freedom to breathe, to palpitate or to work if these two were not imprisoned in my love. Therefore, my love imprisoned me inside the tabernacle, but with reason and with highest divine wisdom. And then skipping to another part of this chapter, our Lord goes on to tell Luisa, now, having completed my office down here, I left for heaven, remaining imprisoned inside each sacramental host. Do you know why? Because my love, being my sweet imprisonment, told me, the purpose for which you descended from heaven to earth is not accomplished. Where is the kingdom of our will? It does not exist, neither is it known. So remain there as a prisoner in each sacramental host. In this way, there will not be only one Jesus, as in your humanity, but a Jesus for each sacramental host that will exist. In a fury of love, your many lives will make a way to the divinity, as well as in each heart that will receive you. These lives will have a little word to say to make our will known, because when they descend into each heart, they will not be mute, but speaking, and you will speak about our fiat in the secret of their hearts. So Jesus is waiting for each one of us in each tabernacle around the world just to hear our one, I love you. And when I was reading this, I was just thinking about how much God loves us. He's willing to be a prisoner out of love for us, the King of the universe, the Eucharist, which is God. And even though Eucharist, it looks like bread. It still tastes like bread after the transubstantiation. It's not bread. It's Jesus himself. And it's really important to just keep that faith and to just know that we don't have to see to believe.
That's great, great example. Hello, Sister Jacinta.
Okay, I was just reading on volume 19. This was July 2nd, 1926. Our Lord was saying, "My daughter, do not be surprised. By possessing the kingdom of the supreme will, the soul will possess a divine, infinite, eternal will, which encloses all goods. And one who possesses a divine, infinite, eternal will, and one who possesses everything can give us everything. What will be our contentment, our happiness, and his in seeing the littleness of the creature in this kingdom of ours, taking from us continuously as the owner, as our true child? And since what he takes from us is divine, he takes the divine, and the divine he gives to us. He takes the infinite, and the infinite he gives to us. He takes immense things from us, and immense things he gives to us. He takes light from us, and light he brings to us. He will do nothing but take and give to us. We will place all our things at his disposal, so that in the kingdom of our will, given to him by us, nothing extraneous to us may enter anymore, but only our own things, and we may receive the fruits, the glory, the love, the honor of the kingdom of our will. Therefore, be attentive, and let your flight in our volition be continuous." Isn't that fantastic? That, you know, we take all. He gives us all, and we give it back to him. It's all ours. God gives us everything as gift. People think this is so unbelievable. You know, it is. But a lot of times, I think people get confused about the divine will, and they don't believe it because they're maybe too intellectual sometimes. They think they have to do it. If they can't do it, it's not going to happen. If you're not able to do it, it won't happen. So because they think they have to do it, that's their pride. They can't accept this. We don't have to do it. We just have to want it, desire it, call it into ourselves and give it back to God. And we own everything then. All is ours. He's very generous. He won't refuse us anything. And he can't refuse anyone who asks him in his divine will. But one who lives totally, one who lives totally in his divine will, he can't say no to. That's why we go to Our Lady. He cannot say no to his mother. I think we should go to Louisa more too, because he can't say no to Louisa. She lived totally in his divine will. So I don't think we ask her enough for her intercession and things, because God will not be able to say no to her. And as you live more and more in his divine will, everything you ask of him, he will do. He will not be able to say no to you either.
So true. So true. Well, we're almost out of time, Mother. Goes so fast, so quickly. Do you have any closing thoughts before we wrap things up?
Well, you know, do acts and rounds and divine will. Don't ever stop. You want to get there? That's how you get there. Take it all. Take it all. Take these acts. Let him come and do it in you. You know, give him, take all of his creation, all of his gifts, take it as your own. He's given it to you. It's a gift, and return it to him. Those are the acts and rounds you do in divine will. And like we started off the show with, talking about the Eucharist, spend time before the Lord in the Eucharist. And like Sister Francesca had a good point there, that he's lonelier in those churches where he's not exposed. He's just in a tabernacle, because hardly anybody goes into a church to pray when the tabernacle's closed. So you be the one to go there, to be his friend, to sit with him, to keep him company, so he won't be so lonely.
And before I ask you, Mother, to end us in a prayer, I'd like to just mention just quickly on this Feast of St. Thomas, if anyone has an opportunity to visit India, I actually did on business several years ago, and I was able to visit St. Thomas Mount. And right next to that, there's what's called the St. Thomas Hiding Cave. And this is where allegedly St. Thomas hid inside the cave. It's about 20 feet long, maybe 15 feet wide, about 6 feet high. It's a small cave. And they believe St. Thomas was there for a month or two. you know, I said, oh, if I can only take a rock from this cave, and just big signs, you know, do not take anything, do not touch anything. And my driver, who was Catholic, he says, take a rock. I said, no, I can't. Look at the sign. Says, don't take a rock. And he says, no, take a rock. I said, no, I can't. He says, don't. Then he shows me a little table over there for donations. He says, you give a donation, you take a rock. So I did. And I think we're going to be auctioning that off on Radio Maria as a fundraiser. But I think we can all appeal to St. Thomas, because if we look at the progress, the growth in St. Thomas from those, again, we were talking about two effects of doubting. One is negative, one is positive. The positive reinforces what we thought, but we couldn't sort of figure out. St. Thomas came to the realization that this is the Christ, and he became a staunch, courageous apostle. But remember what our blessed Lord says, blessed is he who believes that does not see, and that may be us. So we are really, really blessed. Mother, do we have, sister, do you want to mention something else? We have a few more minutes.
Hi, Peter. I just wanted to add what Mother was saying about keeping company with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Not too long ago, I was at home and I had no vehicle. So for several weeks, I kept Jesus company. You can still make a holy hour with him in your room if you have like a holy card or something. But just consistently giving him that hour just to be alone with him and to be silent and just listen to him is also a way to keep him company, because you might be an involuntary prisoner who can't go anywhere, but you can still be with him. And I found it very fruitful too, because that's how he feels. He can't go anywhere, but he's waiting for your visit. So
that's right. You know, and breaking down cars is something I can relate to. The most modern car I have is a 2002. So there's constantly things going wrong. So I'm sometimes stranded without a vehicle, but it's an opportunity. It's not really negative. It's an opportunity. Gesina.
I just wanted to say very quickly. So
yes.
Like the gospel today about the 72 disciples and how they were going in villages and doing miracles and all. And so just in this passage that I was reading, how they were happy because the demons were being subjected to them. And it's our Lord says to Luisa, like, everyone who is in the divine will, the demons cannot tempt him, like cannot approach him, because they the evil flees from the divine will. And I was just thinking, like, all these miracles they were performing were coming out of the divine will, like also the healing, all the other miracles. Yeah, and mentioning the healing, like Sister Teresa was saying, and you before, you were saying something from the Book of Tobit. They say the first Sunday in month is dedicated to Archangel Raphael. So, yeah, just a quick... So yeah, just this about the gospel of today, how like all these miracles and how Jesus told them, don't be happy because of that, but because your names are written in heaven, and they were preaching the kingdom of God is close to you. I mean, how much close can it be than now? So yeah, we're really living wonderful times. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, Toby, I'm on that. You know, it says, quote, take the advice of sensible people. And again, mother and sisters, we believe you all to be sensible people, and never treat any useful advice lightly. So everything that we can gain from each other is beneficial, is rewarding, is growth. It's what God's put in our path. It's so beautiful. So mother, would you please close us in prayer?
Lord Jesus, the intercession of your Holy Mother, we ask you to give special graces to enter totally in your holy divine will, to realize our nothingness, to remind us to do acts and rounds in your divine will so that we can realize our nothingness and enter fully into this great gift, to give you all the honor and glory you deserve. And we ask you, Lord, through the intercession of Our Lady and Saint Louisa, that, you know, we will always have the right motive of wanting to live in your holy divine will, only to give you the honor and glory you deserve. Amen.
Amen. We thank God above all for everything. And we thank you, mother and sisters, for your fiat and for your continuous help throughout our journey. So I'm going to ask everyone if they'd like to unmute themselves and say goodbye, adios, ciao, la vida sing to mother and the sisters. Okay. You may unmute yourself if you'd like to.
Thank you. Thank you, sisters. Thank you, mother.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you, sisters. Thank you, mother. Thank you, sisters. Thank you, mother. Thank you, sisters. Thank you, sisters from California. Thank you, sisters from South Hadley, Massachusetts.
God bless you. We pray for you. Pray for us. Thank you so much.
Ciao. Thank you from Louisiana.